Father, we thank you that you're the great revelator, that you speak to us through Rhema, through the Holy Spirit, in your word. And Father, I thank you that there are times where we so desperately need just that touch that comes out of nowhere that just ministers to us when we need it the most. I pray whoever this word was for and whoever it applies to, Father, will still have that need met some other way, somehow. Because you love them. Because you love them that much. So Lord, today as we continue to delve deeper into worship and understand what worship truly is, I pray that the joy of the Lord that we have experienced is a choice. It's an exchange sometimes when we have things to exchange it for. That, Father, you will reveal to us even greater depths of what worship truly entails. And so, Lord, speak, I pray. I'm just a man. I have nothing to say, but Lord, through the Holy Spirit, you have some things to tell us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, this morning we are going to continue our series in understanding worship just a little bit deeper than we have maybe in the past, or maybe you already know it and it's review. Either way, it's always good to focus on what God has told us about what worship really, really means to Him. And today I want to cover a major part of true spiritual worship that is expressed in so many churches, but so misunderstood in a variety of ways, as you'll see. And this part of true spiritual worship today that we want to talk about is reverence. It's the word reverence. You know, early on when we first began this church, I would hear, and still do in many churches, people going up to the pastor or leader of the church and saying, Reverend so-and-so, Reverend so-and-so, Reverend so-and-so. And I'm sure theologically and through tradition, the leader got the word reverend because I guess they wanted to be reverenced. Because that's what the word, and you'll see here in a minute, is all about. I had a problem with that. I asked our congregation not to call me reverend. I don't want to be called reverend. If somebody out there calls me reverend, I don't get, you know, I don't lose it. I let it happen. I'm not going to sit there and try to, you know, preach or teach or do anything like that. But I do not want to be called reverend because there's only one to be reverenced. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, right? God Almighty. He's the only one to be reverenced. So it's not reverend. You know, Jesus gave the gift of apostle, or prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. I didn't hear anything about reverend. Okay? So sometimes we just add things that we probably shouldn't add. And I'm not saying I am saying it's probably not good because there is only one to be reverenced. So with that in mind, don't call me reverend. Okay? But we want to talk about reverence according to what God says, okay, and how He wants that reverence. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. The writer of Hebrews says this. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service. And as we do it, with reverence and awe. Reverence and awe. These are two words that I'll tell you, if you get a hold of them and such like that, you're going to see God in a whole new light. When John got a hold of that, he fell as a dead man. When those guards came up to Jesus in the garden, and he was pointed out as being Jesus when Judas turned him in, just his presence, those guards fell back out of the awe of just the presence of God. And I think Jesus just gave him a little taste, and then he allowed him back up because he had to fulfill the will of his Father. But reverence and awestruckness is something I see lacking in the overall church today. Because if we really were awestruck and in reverence of God, we'd be careful with every step we take and every move we make. And we'd examine everything closely. Gee, it sounds like the Bible. We'd walk in obedience. And when we fall, we would be quick to repent. Because of the majesty, the awe, the reverence, the absolute profound majesty of God. Because if he did appear, in the Old Testament it said if he did, you'd die. You couldn't behold his face and live. It's hard for us to understand that concept of looking at someone's face and thinking that you're going to die. But God in his majesty and the glory that he gives off, it would be like trying to stare at the sun and you go blind. That's the glory. That's the presence. That's the purity. If he didn't allow us to come into that presence, if Jesus didn't show up as a man and we just took in all of that, we wouldn't as human beings be able to handle it. Do you think of God that way at times? Because if you did, you'd be on your knees more. You'd pray more. Let's understand this word reverence. For our God, verse 29, says to reverence him, for our God is a consuming fire. What does that mean? When something's consumed, it envelops you and it just takes everything that you are and it envelops it into itself. It goes like a fire would just take a piece of wood and it just would become ashes. The fire of God, the Holy Spirit of God, he is a consuming fire. When you allow the Holy Spirit of God to get inside of you and to do a work in you and work out your salvation with fear and trembling and begin to be obedient to the things that God is calling you to and listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit as he changes you and he morphs you into the very image of Almighty God. It's consuming. It means, as my brother said before, less of me and more of you. As he consumes you, there's less of you and there's more of him. And he says, our God is a consuming fire. The fire of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the conviction of God should be all over us at all times, where we're in such reverence to an Almighty God that's given us the breath of life and can take it any time that he wants. Ought to bring profound worship. And when reverence comes during that worship, it's going to express itself in an awestruckness and in a profound change in your countenance and in your being. Reverence. Reverence, listen to me, is not shut up. As we understand it in some churches today, oh, we need to reverence God. Oh. Only one posture. They think of God in one dimension. I'm going to reverence God, therefore I'm just going to shut up and I'm going to be quiet and I'm going to light a candle and I'm going to enter in very slowly and I'm going to just be just very hush. It's one aspect, one tiny, tiny aspect of maybe coming and approaching God in a reverent way. But that's not what the entirety of reverence means. It's not shut up. It is a life. Listen to me now. It is a life, it is an attitude, it is a relationship that ascends to God's throne as worship with great intensity and depth and absolute submission. We heard our brother say that as well. Absolute submission. Absolute. You're God and I'm not. And whatever you say goes. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. The blood of Jesus Christ covers me. I no longer, my life, I have no control over it any longer. I live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of my Father. That's what Jesus did. Reverence is a life. It's an attitude. It's a relationship. You lift it up to God as worship. Reverence in Greek is the word aidos, eidos, and it means awe and godly fear. Awe and godly fear. Not scared, oh, I'm scared, God, but, oh, I am scared that if I sin against you, I'm sinning against the holy God, and there is going to be repercussions. Therefore, I'm going to be on my knees and be in prayer and pray, Holy Spirit, you direct my path so I sin and I do not sin against God. David said that to keep him from sin. Sin offends God, and he's an awesome God. And you don't want to offend an awesome God, a consuming fire. Godly fear is that type that you come and you just recognize that he's God and you're not, and he's got us and I'm in his hands and I am just going to do whatever you say. I've got, you know, I have such a fear maybe of doing something that's opposite of you. We're not to be scared of God, but we're to be in awe of God. And this word fear has to do with that, not scaredy cat fear, but just an awesome reverence, an awesome approach in saying, God, you created me. I am the created being. I have no choice in this matter. It's whatever you say. This is part of worship. This is part of worship. Again, it's really respect. If it comes down to it, the fear is not being afraid. It's respect. I respect this word. It's holy. It's set apart. It's exclusively for those who have inherited salvation through Jesus Christ. Unbelievers can read it all day long. It won't get them to heaven. The word itself is just descriptive of the one who brings us life. Jesus is the living word. This is the written word that tells us all about him. But Jesus is called the Word of God because it is coming from him, and it's just simply written. And it becomes alive and active in your life by the power of his Holy Spirit because it's a supernatural happening. The living word can live in you, and the word of God can make changes in you because it's alive. And you can read the same passage 100 different times, and it may come in 100 different ways in your life because God can do that. It never gets old. It's always reproducing itself to those who receive and want to receive it. Right? You can't reproduce if you don't receive your partner. There'd be no children in the world. You cannot reproduce yourself if you do not have a partner that's willing to, right? We cannot, God has to be in us for us to be able to reproduce heaven on earth. You can't do it in your own strength. You're born into sin. Folks, reverence is adoring and admiring God. It's just when you adore someone and you admire someone so much and you respect them so much, do we show that in our lifestyle? Not, hey, anybody can do that coming into church on an hour service or a 2-hour service or even an all-day service or even a week. This is what we're calling a lifestyle. It's adoring and admiring and respecting God and godly fear until you take your last breath and go to be with Jesus. He says, persevere, endure. And you will receive the crown of life. It is something that is ongoing in your life. You just can't come up to the altar and say, I do, and then just think your marriage is going to work. Well, you can't come up to the altar and say, God, I want you in my life, and not put him in your life. There's a response. There's an exchange. Right? That exchange. You give him your life, and he'll work with it, and he'll make you so godly you can't stand yourself. But you got to give yourself to him first. He'll approach you, whether it be through a donkey or a person or a song or whatever. God will approach you. It's up to you to respond. And when you do, then to make the exchange. And when you make the exchange, you then live in godly reverence or fear and respect and adoration and admiration of the one who gives you life forevermore. It's not only adoring and admiring God, it means we're eternally grateful for His love and His salvation. We express this reverence by our submission to His lordship and our daily decisions. This is worship. When you make daily decisions out of devotion to God, and we do it submitting to whatever He wants us to do, you're worshiping. It's not just singing songs, it's going home, and it's wherever you are. It's submitting to His lordship in your daily decisions. That's one of the greatest acts of worship you can do. That's what real worship is. That's what we're understanding worship. Reverence is part of that. Reverence is being there to do just that. Make daily decisions based upon His word. It shapes your talk and your walk in every relationship and action. I'm going to say that again. It shapes your talk and your walk in every relationship and action. It should change you. If you are not a changed individual, it's not shaped you. You've probably only confessed or professed, but you have not acted upon in faith that which you profess. You can say anything, but doing it's a whole other story. To respect and revere God is to love Him. The only way that you're going to get to the place of reverence, of being able to what? Adore and admire and be obedient to and make daily decisions by, you got to love the person first. Because when you love somebody, you'll do anything for them. When you truly love that person, especially unconditionally, you'll lay down your life for that person. Do you love God? Or you just know Him? Do you know about Him? But do you love Him? Because you love Him, Jesus says you'll obey Him. Oh, I love you, Jesus, but I'm going to hold this part of my life in over here and do this part because I like this part, but this part of my life I'm not going to submit to you in because I just don't want to. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. Reverence will cause us to respect His word. Reverence will cause us to respect His word. His family. What does that mean? One another. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself, right? Two greatest commandments. Reverence will cause you to respect the word, His family. His house. Yeah, we have to respect His house in godly fear. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble for this, I know. You all know that in the sanctuary, we don't allow food and drink and popcorn and coffee and whatever else. When we come through those double doors, we're here to worship the Lord our God. We got plenty of places on this property that you can have a donut and drink and have fellowship and do whatever you want to do. There's a level of respect that we show when we walk into the Holy of Holies. You are the Holy of Holies. And when you come to worship God in His sanctuary, and here it's the corporate sanctuary, you're the personal sanctuary of God. This becomes the corporate sanctuary of God. Respect it. We're not going to have a popcorn machine sitting out there and coffee for you to just sit there and just, you know, come in here and, you know, I'm going to hear you munching on whatever while you're sipping your coffee. I told you I'll get in trouble for that, but I don't care. We need to have a greater reverence for God Almighty in church, in the building. God likes to have fun. There's weddings and there's parties and there's places to go for all that kind of stuff. But when you come in and we're setting our hearts to worship Him in spirit and truth and we are to reverence Him, then there are certain actions that probably should not be taken that will show disrespect in God's house. So we're to respect His word, His family, His house, and all of His instruction to us, especially His instruction to us. It's holy. It's set apart. It's who He is. And respecting His house of worship does not mean to be silent. Okay, we're going to enter into the sanctuary now, so we need to be absolutely quiet. How do I know that? Dancing and clapping is not irreverent. Now, you're going to hear that some places. Dancing and clapping. Now, silence is reverence, but it's not the only thing we do. Dancing and clapping is not irreverent. We often think of reverence as our behavior in the sanctuary and associate God as one who does not approve of dancing, shouting, or clapping. Even though the Scripture clearly speaks of these things as a means of worship. And I think I already took you through the Hebrew words for dancing and clapping and shouting and being silent and being on your face prostrate and all the different ways we show worship. Don't limit reverence to simply sitting down, folding your hands, and going before. He does not consider reverence that. We're in awe of Him. That means the joy of the Lord's in us as well. That means we can dance and we can clap like David did before the Lord. He was reverencing God through that. But there's this misconception, reverence. Sit down and shut up. No, it's more than that. It's a lifestyle. It's worshiping Him every fiber of your being. The trees will clap. The rocks will cry out if we don't. Even nature knows better than for us to just sit down and not show anything towards God except fear. And it's not even fear. I think we just do it out of rote memory of how we were raised or whatever. Folks, reverence is not an action. Listen, it's not an action. Reverence is a life that results in action. You're not going to look it up and say, okay, this is what I got to do. No, your whole life exhibits. It's an action in and of itself. When you walk into a room, when you speak, when you have a countenance on your face, when you're working with people and stuff like that, your life is a reverent action to God. But it's not just something you choose and pick. Oh, that's an action. Reverence is sitting down and shutting up. No, reverence is dancing. No, reverence is whatever your life is in the midst of producing when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, and at times it's sitting down and shutting up, and at times it's dancing, and at times it's clapping, and at times it's taking a piece of pie to your neighbor, and at times, do you understand? Reverence is your wholeness of what you are before God in an attitude of respect and awe. And that will result in sometimes dance and clap and hush and this and that. Understand what reverence is. Your life demonstrates God's absolute ownership of your life. That means if He owns you and He tells your feet to start moving, I don't care what kind of personality you got, you better start moving those feet. I'm reminded of the old westerns. And the guy says, well, I don't dance. And he takes the gun and starts shooting at his feet. And he was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Well, you know, maybe that's a bad analogy. Maybe it's a good analogy. Sometimes, you know what? You just don't feel like it. But sometimes when you just don't feel like it is when you got to worship at your highest. I don't feel like clapping. And you need to clap your brains out until you feel like it. I don't feel like shouting. Well, then start shouting until it becomes a natural thing. It just depends what the atmosphere is calling for. We don't want to be disruptive. We want to keep orderly worship, yes. But the same thing for the leadership is that don't always have an attitude where you come in and you're not allowed to do any of that stuff and don't even believe in all that stuff, that God's against that. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit. There's days it's going to be somber and we're going to come in and just maybe go through repentance and be on our knees. There's going to be other times where we're just going to stay in worship and the joy of the Lord and we're just going to, you know, do you understand? God will determine the atmosphere. We participate by entering into that atmosphere, listening to what He wants. Part of the reverential action in worship is to enter the gates of His house with thanksgiving. Am I right or am I wrong? Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His sanctuary, His courts, with praise. We had to work on that this morning a little bit. We had to come around to the Word of God where it says we got to come in with thanksgiving and we got to enter His courts with praise. I don't feel like it. Oh, well, get feeling like it. Do it out of absolute obedience. And when you do that, God will give you the unction. And it might just stimulate the person to your left and to your right to catch the same unction. And all of a sudden, the house that came in and was just so depressed is all of a sudden full of life. You can change the atmosphere. It is a choice. Mankind has a choice every day. Reverence can be given in our recreational activities as well. What? Absolutely. As well as when we shop and we take vacations. You don't park God. We're in church. We're going to just park you right here, God, because when I head out those double doors, I'm going to go live a whole different way. No, when you go on vacations, when you have recreation activities, when you shop, whatever it is that you do, God goes with you. And he's right there. We show him honor and respect in everything. Sunday morning service is not the end all of reverencing God. He lives in us, so our talk and our walk should reflect him everywhere we go, right? If he lives in us, then everywhere we go should reflect the nature and character of the living God, if he's truly changed us. I think that's why he says the road's narrow. Because there's a lot of people that profess to know about God and say that, yes, oh, I believe in God, so the devil believes in God. He does. He didn't obey a word he says, though. He doesn't reflect his nature or his character. And a matter of fact, he tries to get you to go against the word of God and to reflect his nature and character. You have a choice. You have a choice. Let me share with you some results of reverence to close this thing out. Let me share with you some results of reverence. Okay, so in other words, when I'm reverencing God, what will result from me in my life? Now, you know it's not sit down and shut up. When I do come in with joyful worship, or I do come in and I go prostrate, or I go to the shopping center and I'm talking and sharing Christ with somebody, or I am in on recreational activities and such like that, and we're singing songs of praise, or wherever it is I go and my life is and stuff like that, you know, God exudes. What are some results of that? First, it brings right relationships. When you reverence God, it will bring into your life right relationships. Respect for God results in respect for people. I hope you catch that one. When you begin to respect, you're not going to respect people if you have no fear or respect or awe of God. Why should you respect people if you can't respect God? But when you begin to learn how to respect God, His Holy Spirit will teach you how to respect people. Think about it. Ungodly people, unsaved people don't respect each other at all. But usually, hopefully, when you have Jesus Christ in your heart, you what? Prefer the brethren. You're other-oriented. It's a natural byproduct of the Holy Spirit living in you that you're going to care about others as much as you do yourself. So the first thing, it brings right relationships, respect for God, this reverence. Reverence also brings surrender. That's kind of obvious. His presence in our lives will continually motivate us to greater surrender. The more of Him that gets in you, the less of you, as we heard, will be in us. And it's called surrender. I surrender my will to your will. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. Makes sense. You have no problem. Listen, you don't have any problem yielding to someone you have surrendered to. Think about it. You won't have any problem yielding to someone you've surrendered to. If you're in a war and that guy's got the gun on you and your gun's not up and you lay down your gun, you got no problem surrendering to the one that you're now yielding to, correct? Well, it's with God. You yield, you surrender to God, you'll have no problem yielding to His what He tells you to do. If He says go left, you go left. If He says go right, you go right. Why? Because you have surrendered to Him. So it's not enough to go sing, you know, I surrender all. You know, sing it all day long, but if you don't do it, it means nothing. Think about the songs you're singing. They do a great job of playing songs that talk about God and His nature and His character and the things that, you know, I surrender all. Surrender then. And if you notice somebody who's not surrendering in an area of their life, bring it up to them and say, hey, by the way, have you surrendered all to God? Yeah. Then what are you doing? We need people in our life like that. Otherwise, we just run amok. We see a lot of divorces. Listen to me. We see a lot of divorces because people don't surrender their own will and they refuse to change the way they think. See, two lives are coming together, two opposite lives that have probably complained. We're totally opposite in so many things in our lives. If it wasn't for God, there'd be no glue in our marriage. I don't know about the rest of you. It's a choice we make at the altar when we commit to lay down our lives for one another. Surrendering your will. Change the way you think. I used to think this way, but then I got married. And I don't have an opportunity to think that way anymore. Yeah, you're laughing because it's true. Nope, can't think that way anymore. I'm in big trouble if I get home. We take vows, right? We take vows to become as one, but we rarely reflect on that. Reverence also brings deeper worship. Another aspect of a fruit of it, the results of that. It brings deeper worship. What do you mean deeper? We said that singing, applauding, and shouting are all biblical expressions of worship. But there is a place of deep awe and reverence for the majesty of who God is, where all we can do is wait in silence before Him. And so for all of you with the personalities that like to just be very, very silent, this one's for you. Because there are times that awe and that reverence and majesty of who God is, and He shows up and His presence is here, and He just puts that kavod, that weightiness comes down, and it's in the sanctuary. We won't be standing up and dancing and shouting and praising like we would if we were in a different place. We're going to be on our face. We're going to be on our knees. We're going to be silent before Him. We're going to recognize that weightiness, and it's just going to be, whew. There's a place for all of it, folks. We have to be sensitive to what God wants and all of that. Psalm 46:10, you all know this one. Cease striving. Don't think you got to come in here and dance. Don't think because everybody else is clapping, you got to clap. Don't think that, you know, because, you know, someone else is doing this or someone else is doing that and stuff like that. Let it be part of what you are learning to do as you go deeper into worship and you're recognizing God is pleased with this. It be a choice that you make. Don't be a parrot and don't mimic something. God knows when it's not sincere. Cease striving. Because once you know that I am God, he says here, I will be exalted among the nations and in you. When you know who God is, He'll be exalted in you too. He says, I will be exalted in the earth. There will be nothing that won't exalt God when they get an idea of who He really is. When He comes coming in the clouds and He comes back for His people, my Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when He says every, that's even all those that think that and thought that He didn't exist. People would be looking for rocks to hide behind. The awe and the majesty of God when He comes. The splendor of it all. Ooh. He is and to be exalted. Reverence also brings victory over temptation. As we learn to reverence the Word of God, our minds will be transformed to think holy thoughts, and then we resist temptation. What resists temptation? Thinking like God, holy thoughts. And when we reverence Him, and we reverence the Word of God, and we take it as the Word of God, not just somebody's advice, these are commandments in here, not suggestions, you'll be able to resist temptation in a much, much better way. And as we learn to heed God's voice, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, you know, He can talk to you in your time when you're silent before Him. He can talk to you in dreams and visions. He talks to us all the time through His Word. He can talk to us through prayer times together. He can talk to us through praise and worship. He can talk to us in the night, in the day. He can talk to us while we're driving on the highway. God's voice can be heard. It may not be an audible voice, but you know when you're hearing from someone. So as we learn to heed God's voice, we will recognize the voice of the devil. It'll be opposite, right? And we'll be able to overcome his temptations to sin. When you're going to say, well, wait a minute. Don't focus on the voice of the devil. Stop it. Focus on the voice of God so that you know it so well that when the voice of the devil comes in, it's easily recognized and say, get thee hence behind me, Satan. There was a story of three men, one wise, one, I forget exactly how it all went. But the bottom line is they went through the woods. And their goal was whoever made it through the end of the woods from one end to the other can get to the castle and marry the princess. And there was a guy that was very swift, and there was a guy that was very cunning, and there was, you know, all these kinds of guys that, you know, there were three of them actually. And they all took off to go through the woods to get to the princess because they all wanted to marry the princess. And the first guy went off running through there and stuff like that. And man, the sounds of the forest and the jungle, they were all around him, and he got turned around. He didn't know where he was because the voices of the different animals and things and Satan trying to tell him, go left, go right, all that stuff. He never made it. And then there was another guy that was the strongest. That was supposed to be the wisest guy. Then there was a guy that was the strongest, and he went in there, and he thought, I'm just going to barrel my way through and get to the princess. And once again, all the voices in the forest and the beasts came out and took him out, and he never made it through. And then there was a guy that knew the voice of God. And he made it through, and he got to the princess, and he ended up marrying the princess. And the king said to the guy, he said, by the way, how did you make it through? How were you able to do it? And the guys that were strong and the guys that were wise, well, how did you make it? He said, well, every morning from the other end of the forest and stuff like that, I could hear the flute playing that the king played. And I learned to hear the voice. And I listened to that voice and I memorized it. And I knew the voice of the king through this flute. And so when he got into the forest and all the other voices came in, he focused on the flute. And the flute led him right out of that forest, even with 1,000 other voices talking in his ear. Folks, you can have that with God. When you know the voice of God, 1,000 other destructive voices, all the demons in hell can come out and try to harass you and oppress you and do whatever they want to you. But when you know God and you know his voice and you know who you are in Christ, you can make it right on through that pathway and stay on that pathway with your eyes fixed on Jesus, with your eyes fixed on the voice of God, and you'll make it through any storm the devil can bring up in your life. Something to think about. You can overcome when you know the voice of the Lord. Reverence also brings blessing. We will become a blessing to others as Jesus was when we walk in reverent obedience to the Father. Doing only what we hear the Father say and do. That's what Jesus said. Only what he says do. So we become, reverence will bring a blessing to others. Okay? So read your Bible. Read your Bible. It's one way that we hear from him, like I just said. We don't just pick and choose what we want to obey. You can't just pick and choose in life what it is that you feel like you want to obey and what you don't want to obey. You need to read his word, and you need to obey every last jot and tittle of it. He doesn't want part of you, 99.5% of you. He wants all of you. Well, I don't think that's fair. You know, he put me on this planet. I should be able to enjoy myself. Doesn't matter what you think. He's God. He's God. You were created to glorify him, not build your own kingdom, not enjoy your own pleasures. My Bible says he'll give us pleasures forevermore as a result of obeying him while we're here. What was it you said? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you. Don't worry about building your little kingdom here on earth. You're going to have forever a kingdom to live in where everything that you could even, I mean, I can't even imagine. I love that song. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Reverence also enhances true corporate worship. Close it up here, folks. Reverence also enhances true corporate worship. God ordained, listen to me, God ordained that we meet together with the body of Christ. I can watch them on TV at home. I can worship all by myself. Sure you can. But he never, ever asks us to forsake the assembling with the brethren, because that's when we get the fuller picture of Christ. That's when all the gifts come together. That's when that corporate body, that unity comes in that Jesus prayed for in John chapter 17. And it brings a much more powerful, powerful praise and worship unto God when you have more than less. We're to gather together. Finally, one of the key results of true reverence is the ability to walk in humility. When you reverence God, one of those fruits is going to be to walk in humility, having submitted your ideas and opinions to the Lord. Last scripture, Micah 6:8. Your ideas and your opinions got to get underneath the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Well, I have this opinion. Well, I think that things should go this way and stuff like that. That's when you sit down and shut up and listen. He has told you, Micah says, oh man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you? Could have probably just did this verse and been done today. But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. The more we revere God, the less self-confidence and independence we will display. We will depend upon Holy Spirit in all that we do. So in our study of understanding worship, be sure to develop a deep reverence for God, a lifestyle for God, and walk humbly before Him.